We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. So, listen, we've got an idea. Butters had an idea. Good idea. We're sitting here right now looking out over the golf course where our studio sits, and it's just cold. Everything else is normal looking, but not everywhere in our listening area is like that.
To be clear, it is not the golf course that we get to go frequently play because we have so much spare time.
Yes, we are.
So, just want to make that yeah. You paint this beautiful picture.
And missed many a tea time because we chose to actually do a show. But all right, so you had an idea before the show about people sending in some pictures.
Yeah,
tell me what you're thinking.
So John from Huntsville texted in earlier, number one, to ask if we were live, and in fact we are.
Hello, John.
Kids are out playing, and I've seen stuff on social. But guys, if you got a photo or something like that of your surroundings today.
Snow.
Or your lack of snow. Some of our snow looks a lot like grass. But, text in the photo, and I'm going to try and do the best I can to pull them on. And in our live stream over on our various platforms, we'll get it up in the live stream as we kind of go through text and stuff
today. Yeah,
that's
cool. So, if you're watching the live stream, if you send in a photo, we'll be watching the text lines. It's 833-687-4448. Just like any other text, you can send a photo or something like that or whatever. But make sure it's yours. I mean, we don't want you sending us pictures of Alaska, all right? So just go ahead and send us your pictures. Like, hey, this is my yard. These are my kids sledding or whatever. This is the snowman we built. But send us the pics and Butters will do the magic and get them uploaded so on the live stream you can see them.
Or the micro snowman.
I've
I don't know what
before.
the little snow. I think we probably could have done that in my yard today. So
I was that kid, right? That you bring up a point. I was that kid, and I was also a latchkey kid. So my mom had to work. Single mom. Dad was in the Army stationed elsewhere. They were divorced, and so I was often able to do things on my own at a younger age than I would ever care to admit. But nonetheless, I was also that kid that just did stuff. And so we had a snow once that kept us out of school, but it was like an inch. It wasn't a big deal. And so I went outside, and my brother and I, we started making miniature snowmen. And we made, each one's like 6 inches high, right? And that's about all we could do. I mean, you couldn't roll a big snowman. So we put about, I don't know, a dozen of these things in order and made little stick rifles, and we called it Valley Forge. And I called the local paper. Daggum, if they didn't send a reporter out. And I could tell when he got there, he was like, I hate my job. Because this 11-year-old just called the paper and said he had snowmen for me to get a picture of. And they're 6 inches tall. And he calls it Valley Forge. The knucklehead kid. So he took our picture, got his car, and left.
Your early years of being in media. Nice.
Always looking for an angle. Several text messages already in. John from Huntsville did text in. He says, Phil, nice monologue. Also want to say I just found out today that if you have shoes with deep treads on them, you can ice skate in frozen yards. Wow. Okay.
That doesn't sound safe.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, since there was nobody out driving my neighborhood roads, I decided to have some fun. So I went ice skating up and down the roads. That's awesome. I am slightly jealous of that. Rita in Scottsboro says, sent pictures, man. She sent pictures. Rita's in Scottsboro says, we only got a quarter inch of ice here, but it's ice. It's hanging on. Yeah. By the way, my Jeep door was frozen shut this morning. I had to do a little work to get it open. JT Lacey Springs says, as usual, good monologue. As to the weather here in North Counties, it's become liberal. For 2 days now, every way I look, there are snowflakes. Get it? See what he did there? Nice.
Nice. Yes.
Frank from Madison says, greetings from the frozen north, Madison, Alabama. Thank you, Frank. And then Jeff from Indiana says, come on, Phil, you old tight wad, turn up the heat. Butters is cold. He's got a sweatshirt on today. This is how we are. We got to run lean around here. Y'all don't know it, but we have the heat up so much we had to crack the window open. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, jumping right into Dipper number one, Iowa. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for the good measure. Picks are coming in, though, I think, bud. I'm looking right now. First of all, Tom from Huntsville says, Chipotle is open, folks. Come out for some Taco Tuesday. And he's got a picture of a snowy Chipotle. So there's your one right there, man. Look at that. Tire tracks in the snow to get to Chipotle. That's like somebody who needed
nice
their beans and rice.
Did you look at Rita's? So I can throw Rita's photos up here. That's
Rita
going out now.
Had an iced over deck and ice Ooh. Hanging off the trees in her backyard or front yard or wherever.
Yeah,
it is.
That looks like a broken tailbone to me.
And then David from Athens has texted in. He says, "Parking lot when I got to work this morning around 5:30 a.m. Oh, Bucky's. He's at Bucky's. And there are still tire tracks in the snow at Bucky's at 5:30 in the morning. So, wow. I'm assuming that means David works at Bucky's.
And
I may be somewhat jealous of his job.
I'm sorry. I'm back on the – I got stopped at looking at the Chipotle and thinking about it being Tuesday and the fact that we still don't have a taco sponsor, and now I want tacos.
I know. We got to have a taco sponsor for Taco Tuesday. All right. So, first dipper here. I'm calling it just Iowa, exclamation point, Iowa. So last night was the beginning of the primary season. I mean, like, not the campaigning, the actual voting. So, I mean, there was a whole lot of spin going into it. What's going to happen? Who's going to win? Surely not Trump. This will be the mandate. This is where they tell him they don't want him back. Okay, guess what? I think I'm listening. I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but I think y'all know what happened. So President Trump came in hard, man. And what's really interesting was he was 30 points ahead of the next possible candidate. Now, why does this matter? Well, first of all, it's a clear indication that the people of Iowa chose. They got out in abysmal conditions. I'm talking about, like, you know, lips falling off your face cold. It was next level, negative degree something's cold. Snow, wind. You know, just like harshness. And they got in their vehicles, I'm sure none of them were electric, and drove down there and voted. Now, the Iowa caucus system is different than what you and I do here in Alabama, or most of the nation for that matter. They actually caucus, which means they get together. So they have approved caucus sites, and they're all over the state. And I think pretty much every county has them. And they get together in a room. And, I mean, It was just like America. It was like you look at it and go, oh, that's the way it used to be. No more of this California ballot harvesting, let's mail it all in kind of crap. No, they were literally passing out cards, and you got to vote, and you signed in, you proved your residency, oh, go figure, that you were allowed to vote in that area. They handed you your special card, and then there was a time when it was like, okay, everybody vote. And then they started pulling them out, and they were actually collecting them in things like popcorn bags and pumpkin buckets. And it was just amazing to watch. And they're collecting the ballots, and they're counting them right there on the spot. They're pulling them out and going, one for Trump, one for DeSantis, another for Trump, one for Haley. And they just kind of went down the line. And guess what? The whole state had their results in about 2 hours later. It like almost restores your faith in elections to watch that happen. But anyway, the bottom line is Trump came out like so hard and fast. Now, I tell you, I do have one beef. He won. Hands down, he won. But I got a real beef with the networks all deciding that they were going to announce they're going to call the race within an hour of the voting opening. I mean, they had 1% of the returns in, and they called it. And I find that to be a little disingenuous. Allegedly, there was going to be a rule saying the networks would not do that. Why does that matter? Well, because some people are still voting when it's already being called. And they've got TVs on in the caucus sites, people checking their phones. They know what's happening. And so when Fox or CNN or MSNBC goes, we are now able to go ahead and call this race for President Trump, well, there's people still voting, so why would you do that? It's just, to me, that's the one thing that I would say out of last night just needs a change. I just, anyway. But story here from Fox News came out last night. Former President Trump, it says, stunned the American political scene on Monday with what could shape up to be a near record margin of victory in the Iowa caucuses. I believe he won all but one county in the entire state. I mean, that's a sweep. That's not even a little bit. Now, keep in mind, Democrats, yeah, they chose not to. Why is that? Well, because they're Democrats, first of all. So if you're not familiar, Democrats have gone down this road of trying to make sure they take care of Biden, because that's what you do when you have to take care of someone who's not able to take care of themselves. So they're babying him, they're carrying him on a pillow, they're going to make sure it's okay. Don't worry, sir. Don't worry. Don't strain yourself. We'll take care of you. Does he have Democrat opposition? Yeah. Does he have other people trying to run? Yeah. Is it true that Iowa's always gone first and the Iowa caucuses were both Democrat and Republican? Yeah. Isn't it true also, though, that the Democrat National Committee decided to go ahead and move the primary focus to South Carolina? Yeah. Why would they do that? Because it favors Biden. Biden wanted that to go first. Why? Because he wanted the momentum that came from a victory that he's almost sure to get and be able to speak to it, you know, we have now won South Carolina. He doesn't want to take a chance on a sort of a hard-to-control caucus thing in Iowa. So what are they doing? They did a mail-in. Yeah. A mail-in. And when do we get to find that out? March. 2 months. It'll be after the South Carolina primaries. It'll be after New Hampshire. Yeah, that's just wrong, y'all. Anyway, here's the thing. This article from Fox, it also points out Newt Gingrich got pretty active last night. He said, despite every lawsuit, despite every effort to destroy Trump, the people of Iowa have stood up and said, no, he's our candidate. He's the nominee. Just get over it. He's the nominee. He's going to win the nomination, it says. The news media doesn't want to say that because they need to somehow hype. Please watch us while I go through the charade. Well, the former speaker went on to talk about it more. I will say this. Here's the one thing that I think could change things. It's too soon for the number 2 and 3, which in order last night was DeSantis with like 21-22% and Haley with 19%. Ramaswamy got a little over 7% and dropped out of the race. Asa Hutchinson, which nobody knew he was still in the race, decided to get out also. Butters looked at me. He was still in, man.
Who?
Yeah. That guy.
I'm sorry. I thought you sneezed. Okay.
Asa Hutchinson. He's still a candidate, apparently. But the only thing that could change, and the reason why it's too soon for the other two to get out, is because they're still throwing everything they can at Trump. He. By the way, speaking of indefatigable energy, I mean, the guy is the Energizer Bunny. So yesterday, he campaigned in Iowa, did his speech last night. This morning, he appeared in court in New York. That's just who he is. They're doing all they can to impede his ability. The guy's got his own plane, and so he's just getting there. It's a big enough plane to where he's probably got, you know, a bedroom and a shower on there, and just somebody fix him a Big Mac and he's good. But he is still going. So he's in court today in New York. In the meantime, though, it's too soon, I think, for everybody to say, okay, DeSantis, Haley, y'all get out. Why? I say that because there's a couple of pieces of Trump's legal battles that are still concerning. And the last thing we need is to have him unable to run for some reason. And so we've got to have a number two for the moment. I do believe, though, he's on a clear path to the nomination. I mean, and I'll be honest, I think that on the one hand, while I believe his policies and his track record is something that we would benefit from, I also think that if he doesn't run, it means they won. Even if we win the election with somebody else, I think that if Trump doesn't run, it's like they won anyway. And I don't know that I could stomach that idea. Looking at this, though, Newt Gingrich said that the former president, Donald Trump, is the leader in what he called an anti-establishment national political movement. And I agree with that. This is as big a headwind as what I saw in 2010 when the Tea Party just changed the dynamic on the ground. What we're seeing right now with the movement for Trump, because last night in Iowa, that was a record. Keep in mind, this was a blue state two elections ago. Trump took that away in 2016. Biden didn't get it back in 2020. And Trump just is about to dominate it in 2024. This was a blue state recently. All that to say, what we're looking at right now, and I agree with Newt Gingrich on this, anti-establishment national political movement. Britt Hume from Fox also said that voter analysis has shown that GOP voters want a political upheaval. They want to change the current state of affairs, and they believe that Trump is the only person best suited to make that happen. So I think that's true, too. I do think DeSantis could do it. I absolutely – would I be comfortable with DeSantis as president? Absolutely. I am not comfortable with Nikki Haley. I'm not comfortable with Ramaswamy, who dropped out last night. I like Doug Burgum, but he was never going to make it. Right now, to me, DeSantis is the best number two we could possibly hope for, just in case something happens to Trump. So there's that. All right, dude, take us to a break. We'll take the first break of the day. Don't forget, top of the hour, we'll have a call from Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, to give his thoughts on how things went last night and where it goes from here. And yeah, I'm seeing pictures coming in. We got to check some of those and get them up on the screen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, so don't forget, by the way, top of the hour, we'll have Todd Stacey, publisher of the Alabama Daily News and host of Capital Journal on TV. He'll be on giving us his political laydown on what he saw from last night, where he thinks it's going. I got to jump on some texts because the texts are flowing in. If you want to send us your snowy, icy, wintry pictures, send them. Butters is about to start posting some of them up on our live feed right alongside my mug. So, yes, post them up. Text them in like you would any other text message, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Man, Keith from Parts Unknown, I don't know where his parts unknown are, but that's a lot of snow. He lives on top of a hill somewhere.
So I'm and guys, I'm trying. I appreciate everybody throwing them in there. I'm trying to get them up as best I can. I've got is it David and Tom's photos right now? The Bucky's photo. So. Yeah.
Bucky's and Chipotle. They're getting free ads right now on our live stream.
And Keith. Keith from Parts Unknown. I'm not sure. That looks like
some whiteness. Oh, you got it up on the screen now.
Yeah, got it up. And then John from Lexington, from good old Fort Jackson, my old stomping grounds.
Yep.
That's some very white green grass.
Yeah, but it looks cold though. Thomas from Athens sent in a picture of the birds on the bird feeder right outside his window. JT from Lacey Springs says, where'd it go? We'll get back to that in a minute. We're going to talk about that in a second. Mel from Huntsville sent in an older picture. Oh, yeah, that is beautiful. 6 years ago, he says, at Joe Wheeler State Park. Yep, that's pretty. Where else we got here? Scott from Athens says, Uncle Phil, if Strzok and Page flattered Trump about his ties, he'd make them head of intelligence. It would be more the same just during the Russia hoax and COVID. I will not vote for him. Is DeSantis number one, RFK Jr. for me number two? There must be some accountability and a deconstruction of the deep state. I my sense, okay, Scott, you're welcome to your vote, brother. And I'm okay with you making your choices. But I'll be honest with you. I don't think that Trump is all about the you flatter me, therefore you'll be on my team. I mean, look at how many people he burned in the last administration. And then there were those who you thought he was digging their flattery, and he burned them before he even started, like Mitt Romney. So I think that he's going to be quick to put together a team this time. He's probably already got a notion on that. In fact, he even said the other day he's already chosen who he wants for his vice president, but he's not willing to announce it yet. And the speculation abounds.
So what are your thoughts? Because the first thing that comes to my mind is if we end up with Trump as on the ticket, if you want change, if you want disruption to the deep state and all of that kind of stuff that comes along with that, a vote not for Trump is a vote to keep Biden or whoever the Democrats end up putting in.
Oh, yeah.
To kind of what you said, like everybody's got their right to vote, but man, that's like the never Trumpers going, like all you're doing is just
listen, there are people that power. I love that you know, that have been close to my family and all that, and they are such ardent never Trumpers that it's like a disease. They can't, and I'm like, I like Trump. I'll vote for Trump, but if he's not the nominee, I'm going to vote for the guy that's against Biden. I mean, and I just am.
I'm at this point a bull in the China shop. I got more confidence in a bull in a china shop that doesn't seem like, I mean, Trump's not whatever deep state or whatever conspiracy, like it just, look, disruption, just it make everybody uncomfortable. That sounds like a good place to start.
Well, and just think what he'll do with all the policies that he had in place during his last administration while he still had a Democrat-controlled Senate and House. My word. He got some stuff done, but I'll be honest. We don't have the luxury of saying, "Well, I'm just not going to vote," or "I will never vote Trump. I'll find a third party candidate." Well, then you're voting for Biden at that point.
Yeah.
And every vote's going to count. Every vote.
Which, speaking of, on the old YouTube live stream, somebody posted Donald Trump won every county. I think she's referring to the Iowa caucus.
Yeah.
Won every county except one. By they say one vote, that's why it's important to get out and vote.
That's a great comment. In fact, I saw that headline. I'm glad somebody pointed that out again. I'd forgotten about it. But yes, my understanding is he won every county, like that comment just said, except for one, and apparently only lost that one county by one vote, which means if two more of his supporters had showed up that evening, no blame here, but I'm just saying if two more had showed up, it would have changed the whole dynamic, and he would have been, I think, the first one in history to sweep all of the counties in one caucus. Anyway.
Too many white people.
Too many white Christian evangelicals in that state. Man. John from Huntsville texted in and says, because it's Taco Tuesday, here's a picture of something you and Butter should try eating. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you very much. I don't know how to.
I'm slightly hungry. Is it just going to make me hungrier?
It's going to make you worse, yes. And then William from Huntsville just sent in a picture. William from Huntsville says that TVA is saying there's a chance of blackouts tomorrow. In the meantime, he's got a whiteout at home. He sent in a picture of his street covered in snow, bro. That's a good one to upload later on. John from Harvest says, it's a long text. Let's see what we got here. Democrats will resort to mail. It says figures that Democrats would resort to mail-in voting. Voting by mail is anathema. I can't say that word. Anathema for a free republic. It's bad. Let's put it that way. If elections are up to me, there you go. Photo ID, paper ballots, eliminate vote by mail, significantly curtail early voting, have in-person voting or use absentee ballots where proper chain of custody can be made. All the things we love. And he's right. John, you're absolutely right. It's just called voter integrity. It's voting systems integrity. It's not hard. If they can do it in a third world country, we can do it here. Anyway, Heather from Ardmore sending in the snow. Oh, that's pretty. All right, listen, send in your photos. Coming up next, interview with Todd Stacey, publisher of Alabama Daily News. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and yeah, we cover down on all of it like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, we're in number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm just calling it Iowa. I mean, that's what it is, Iowa, exclamation point. It was the beginning. It was the first votes cast in the primary season. Well, I mean, if you're a Republican, Democrats, we have no idea what's happening because they chose to go to a mail-in version, and we don't get to know the results until March. Anyway, that being said, last night was a big doings for the campaigns that are still in the race. Two have dropped out, Ramaswamy and Asa Hutchinson. Three remain, really. And it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. Coming on the line right now is somebody who's been around politics for quite a number of years at both the state and federal level and is now the publisher of the Alabama Daily News and the host of Alabama Public Television's Capital Journal, my friend Todd Stacey. Todd, how you doing?
I'm great, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, man. Hey, thanks for making the time for us. What's the weather like down there in Montgomery? Y'all got the snow and ice like we do up here?
Well, it's cold, but we didn't really get any snow. I think the cutoff line was north, so we didn't get any of the white stuff. But it is very cold. My faucets are dripping, and about this time last year, I had some busted pipes from the last hard freeze. So I am taking extra precautions this time around.
Well, and I remember the part of town that I think you bought your house in, and yeah, you got to keep those faucets dripping in that part of town. That's for sure.
House is 102 years old, so it's got some age.
Well, hey, listen, brother, speaking of got some age, we have a late 70s guy who just won big last night. So your thoughts on the Trump campaign, DeSantis, Haley, what'd you see last night? What was the read between the lines for you?
Well, you know, interestingly, I don't know how interesting this is, but the results really closely followed what the latest polling was showing in Iowa, which is Trump dominating with a big win, 51%. That's big for him because anything under 50, there would have been a little bit of sniping maybe, even though it's a major win. But getting to that 51 was significant. It's a huge, huge win. And then, you know, DeSantis and Haley having not terrible showings, but really not even close. And so the takeaway for me is that, you know, there's an old saying that there's three tickets out of Iowa, right? You can come in first, second, or third, you can live to play another day. That's proving true in this case, but I think especially DeSantis is really on his last leg. He put all his chips in to Iowa, he basically became governor of Iowa. You know, he just spent so much time there. And so, you know, at the expense of any other state, really. And so I just don't really see a future for him. Haley, you know, there's still a small chance, but still a chance. And it's especially considering how well she's polling in New Hampshire. And so if something really big and crazy happens up there, if she somehow pulls off a win in New Hampshire, obviously her home state of South Carolina is next. So again, a small window of opportunity for Haley, but it still exists. And so, you know, they'll be voting in New Hampshire this time next week. So that'll be, and what's interesting also, Phil, is that Haley, in a weird way, kind of needs DeSantis to stay in the race. Because the minute DeSantis gets out, his voters are much more likely to go to Trump than to Nikki Haley. Ah. And so in a way, it helps her for him to hang on, at least through Super Tuesday. So that's one thing I'm watching as well.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that. So two pieces come to my mind in your discourse there. One is, I did see, and I know DeSantis is calling it a victory, that he was polling behind Haley, allegedly going into the caucuses, and yet he came out ahead by about 2 points. And I think they're trying to take that as a victory lap moment. But then I'm also seeing what you just said. I am seeing people calling the Never Trump crowd is calling basically Haley their candidate. More and more on social media, they're leaning Haley. And I agree with you. I think that DeSantis's voters are more likely to go over to Trump as opposed to coming, you know, to the side to Haley.
Yeah, I agree. So watching what he does will be really interesting. And yeah, look, New Hampshire is always an interesting state. They're so, you know, independent minded. They're the, you know, live free or die state. It's a unique place. And so, yeah, look, she's done really well up there. It's really more her strong suit, that, you know, a little more moderate, a little more mainstream than the, you know, the harder right that really dominates the Republican Party these days. But it's still a significant block. And if she pulls something off up there, then it will be really interesting. It will make South Carolina very interesting. And then we come to Super Tuesday, which, you know, includes Alabama. We've not really had any fresh polling for a while on testing Alabama's voters. I'm actually hoping to do some here in the next few weeks. Obviously, I think Trump would dominate Alabama as well. But if Haley finds a way to win New Hampshire, or even comes in a very close second, finds a way to do the same thing in South Carolina, potentially winning both those states, I really do think it makes Super Tuesday a lot different. And it starts to become a delegate, you know, adding up, doing the math, and it could turn into a longer race.
So let me ask you this. Speaking of longer race, you know, one of the things that I said a little while ago is that while I really believe that the majority of Trump's legal battles, the questions that are going before the Supreme Court, all of it, I think the majority of that is going to fall by the wayside and be seen for what it is. But there are a few pieces of it, not the least of which is the documents case, that I do think gives me some pause that he might still have some problems. And so one of my concerns is that if DeSantis drops out, that he may be missing an opportunity to be the guy who comes in to fill the gap left behind by someone mm-hmm. who couldn't stay on the ballot. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the primary reasons why DeSantis decided to get in the race to begin with. Going back to around this time last year, as he was kind of getting ready, that was the prevailing thought, that, you know, Trump was not polling very well. Would he get in? Would he not? Would he be able to stay in, given some of these investigations? So it's kind of a double-edged sword, because there's no question that starting with the New York DA indictment, which obviously is kind of a joke, starting with it and then having Mar-a-Lago, having the Jack Smith, you know, these indictments added up, that has been the most decisive factor in this primary race. Trump was not running away with this race this time a year ago, but all these indictments started to happen, and you had this rally around our guy, rally around Trump, happened amongst Republicans. I mean, the polling is just very clear on that. But so it's been a blessing, really, politically for Trump. But I agree with you that setting aside the New York case, the documents case, it could get really serious and could get politically damaging once it goes to trial and things like that. So you're right. Being there to stay in the race just in case something does happen and be that alternative candidate has been DeSantis' kind of MO all along. We'll see if it actually happens.
Well, but DeSantis is also not where he was a year ago. I mean, everybody thought that he was going to come roaring in and catch the spirit of America and, you know, and be the guy who could say, I'm Trump without the chaos. But he's really seemed to be flagging. And I'm not – what I mean, I don't know if you have any notions on that, but it does not seem like he has the same retail politics capability that we're seeing right now out of Trump and maybe even out of Haley.
Yeah, and see, that's, I totally agree. He just not run a good campaign, and I like DeSantis. When I was working in Congress, our office was across the hall from DeSantis. He's a plenty of a nice guy. maybe not the just, you know, warm and fuzzy, that, you know, Bill Clinton or George Bush or something, but I mean, he's a smart, good candidate. But his campaign has really been snake bit from the beginning. Remember they had that disastrous launch on Twitter? Really didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, he never really, in my mind, made an effective case for why he was running. I think a lot of people, including people that have now gone back to Trump, were open to the idea that, okay, let's turn the page here. Let's, you know, the motivation is beating Biden, taking the White House back, and turning around some of these policies. I think plenty of voters were open to that, but he never answered that question. He never really provided that. And that it just, I don't know whether that's him, whether that's his advisors, but clearly there was a failure to launch.
Well, I agree. And listen, with about a minute left, let me ask you just your thoughts on this. Right now, the more liberal media that is responding to the, oh my gosh, Trump won big last night, they're trying to explain it away, saying this is actually what the Biden campaign needs. They want to run against Trump. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's correct. I mean, I think that Biden, his only chance really is for, you know, Trump's baggage and his, you know, the sort of moderate independent voters' distaste for him will come through for Biden like it did in 2020, right? That's his only shot. He doesn't, you know, Republicans can nominate anybody else and it would be a runaway victory. I still think Trump probably has the upper hand here. But yeah, I mean, the Biden camp definitely wants Trump as an opponent. But even then, I mean, he's just proven to be such a weak president. He's pulling so badly. You know, even Trump, I think, you know, will carry the day.
Well, as always, I appreciate your time, man. Hey, listen, before we get off the air here, if you want to tell folks where they can find out more about you or Alabama Daily News or what you got on this Friday for Capital Journal, go ahead and tell them.
Absolutely. Well, we'll figure out Capital Journal when we fall out, but you'll want to get the daily news. It's the morning newsletter is what you really want to sign up for. It's free. Just go to aldailynews.com, enter your name and your email right there on the homepage, and you'll be on the list.
All right, man. Hey, appreciate you. Todd Stacey, thanks so much for your time.
All right, Phil, be good.
All right. All right, we'll take a break right now. That was Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal on public television giving us his thoughts. I'll wrap this thing up, and then we'll head to Dipper number two. Meanwhile, there's a bunch of texts with a bunch of pictures of a bunch of snow that we didn't get here, Butters. Where's my snow, dude? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, by the way, just for those of y'all that are wondering, in the northern part of our listening area where you are under TVA power, which is pretty much everything probably north of, I think, Blount County. Anyway, all that to say, TVA is not looking at any scheduled blackouts. I know we had somebody earlier said TVA warning of blackouts. They are asking for people to reduce their usage if at all possible. In other words, don't leave lights on. They're not telling you to turn your heat down, but they're just saying if you can live with it a little bit lower or build a fire in the fireplace and sort of supplement, go for it. But they are all, by the way, the expert that I talked to said that they are absolutely already shifting power from other areas to bolster this portion of the system. So that sounds like a win. What you got, bud?
They're augmenting with a bunch of solar power, right?
Sure.
And wind.
Gosh, yes. Goodness. And everybody knows that now is the time to go and charge your Tesla. Speaking of which, he said headline. This is a total. We're just chasing a rabbit now. That headline I called out earlier during a break to you, in Chicago, it said that there are so many dead Teslas still connected to their chargers that didn't get a charge because it was too cold, that they're saying it's like a valley of dead robots out there.
Mm.
Awful. One guy said he sat there for 3 hours trying to get it to charge, still had 0%. Another person said they finally had to call a friend and get a ride home in a gas-powered vehicle.
Ugh.
But it's just...
That's when you just pull the generator out of the trunk.
It's going to save the world. Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what, that's when you just crank up the diesel on your F-150 and drive home, right? So, hey, by the way, several text messages. So I call out a few thank yous. Butters is about to start posting some more pictures of your snow and ice. Roger from Ardmore sent in one. Oh, that's a pretty drive. I want to go there. Roger from Ardmore sent in a beautiful snow-covered road, the fields and everything. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I got one up now from Jeff. Yeah. Jeff from Indiana. Looking out the truck.
He's taking pictures while he's driving. Awesome.
No, it looks like he's in a yard. He looks like he's in yard.
I see it.
Then a couple more here from Mel from Huntsville and Roger from Ardmore. So
these are all on the live stream, by the way. If you want to, at the very least, catch it on either YouTube or Twitter at Right Side Radio, or you can also go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Rightsideradio.org. You can see our smiling faces as we sit here in the studio, but you also got the the imagery being put up by Butters. So, yeah, if you got a snow or ice picture, text it in like you would anybody else, 833-687-4448. What, do you guys have something?
Beautiful country.
Beautiful.
It's kind of fun. Honestly, it's kind of fun to see where I mean, a lot of these names and stuff are just names that we see every day, and, getting to see where everybody's at. It's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, Mel from Huntsville's picture is pretty cool. Looking out his front window of his vehicle. By the way, we can see Mel's eyes in the mirror. So we see you, Mel. Very cool. Billy from Blount County says, Phil, I'd like for you to check into Tyson Foods. Okay. He's giving me an entire, this is a rabbit chasing thing here, but, Billy, thanks for the heads up, man. I'll see if I can check it out. I've not heard anything like that, but I will look into it, sometime soon. And then, John from Harvest says, back to the topic at hand. My first choice is DeSantis, but after Iowa, I think the best thing for him now is to drop out and endorse Trump. Then he could spend his time governing Florida, exposing the garbage happening with the current administration, essentially bide his time until 2028. Not a bad plan. And by the way, that's what he said that he's probably going to do if he's not the nominee, that he has no desire to be a vice presidential candidate. I think that he would make a great vice presidential candidate. I think he also looks at how Trump has burned people from his last administration because, Trump's got great policies. I trust Trump to make decisions on the snap if he needs to. But I also know, too, that if a day goes that you don't agree with Trump on something, that you run the risk of him casting you aside. The only one he can't cast aside is his vice president, but he can make their life difficult. Did I even do topics? I didn't even get to the Dipper. All right, I got more to do. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. So the text messages are still flowing in with pictures of the ice and snow. And are you going to post that one from Jerry from Athens?
Yeah, give me a second. I'll have it up.
Jerry from Athens, we are giving you props, bro. So Jerry from Athens is not playing. He went out there, yeah, got a picture of him out in the snow with his campaign sign for Margie Bishop for circuit court clerk.
Hey, as a marketer, man, I love it.
Any moment you can grab, right? There it is up on the live stream right now, as a matter of fact. Kudos to you for stealing a moment for advertising for Margie Bishop for circuit court clerk. Margie didn't spend a lot of money on her signs, I can just tell you that, but it's still, you know, it gets the job done. Jerry, thanks for doing what you do.
And for all those that want to be a copycat, you may not have so much luck.
Yeah. Don't be sending lots of signs. You know what's going to happen? We're going to start getting people holding up signs saying things to us. No, don't do it. John from Lexington said, I agree with John from Harvest. What did John from Harvest say? Which one was that? Oh, the DeSantis piece. That's right. Okay. Priscilla from Hartzell sent in a picture. What is that one? You got, oh, she got, well, okay, she's sort of getting her advertising too. So for Priscilla from Hartzell, a picture with her with her Trump 2024 shirt in front of these snowy Buc-ee's in the Athens area.
Man, we're going to have to send an invoice to Buc-ee's for all the adverts today.
Can we just please get them on the list?
I guess I really haven't had a big snow when there's been a Buc-ee's to go to, but I guess that'd be a good place to go.
Well, hot barbecue, you know, a bag of beaver nuggets.
We're talking a lot about food today, and I am hungry.
There's a lot of food talk. Roger from Ardmore sent a picture in of Taft, Tennessee. Oh, he says, oh, that beautiful picture he sent earlier was Taft, Tennessee. Okay, wow, that's good looking. All right, hey, listen, let me finish up this dipper. If you don't mind, Butters, I'm going to finish the dipper.
I'm sorry for distracting you.
Thank you very much. Ben Shapiro had his take. So Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro briefly discussed his takeaways, right, last night on the Iowa caucuses. He says the results show that Trump is the de facto nominee. I would agree with that. If things remain the way they are, I agree with that. And I'm fine with that. Donald Trump, he says, is so far out ahead, the rest of the field can't even see him. This is like Secretariat against the rest of the field in 1973 at the Belmont Stakes. Okay, he's a horse guy. He said this further. He says, it means that de facto, Trump is the nominee. If no one can challenge him in Iowa, if nobody really has a chance of challenging him based on the momentum going into New Hampshire, if nobody has a challenge for him in South Carolina, at that point, all you can say is he's preparing for the general election against Joe Biden. So what he's basically saying is, and I agree with this, folks talking about, you know, DeSantis or Haley dropping out, it won't happen until South Carolina, I would think, unless there's such a dismal showing by one of the also-rans in New Hampshire. If they come out about the same, if Trump goes strong, but you see DeSantis and or Haley coming in with good seconds, I would say, seconds and thirds, then I would say they're probably going to go on to South Carolina. Keep in mind, Todd Stacey pointed out a minute ago, South Carolina is Nikki Haley's home state. She was the governor of South Carolina. So the expectation is that she would do well in her own state.
Maybe.
All right. Maybe. You got some intel on your home state there, dude?
I don't keep up too much with my old bum. Yeah, I grew up there. So
You got some kinfolk back there, don't you?
I do. And then all of my high school friends. Actually, one of my high school friends is a big wig in the Republican in the state house there, because Columbia is the state capital and that kind of good stuff.
Text your friend at some point soon and ask him what the sentiment on the street is, what they think is going to happen with is Haley. I would be curious too. You don't have to give us his name, obviously, unless he wants to. I tell you what, if he wants to call in, that'd be cool too. But is his sentiment that Haley as the governor is welcome hack? Or is his sentiment that Haley as the governor is, we had enough of her already? I would love to know.
I'm curious, too. I'll do some research.
I assume your dude is a Republican.
Very much.
Okay. Other story here from Red State. What's DeSantis saying? Well, so DeSantis came out, obviously had to have some things to say. Got to. His response was, here's what he said last night. He said, they threw everything but the kitchen sink at us. They spent almost $50 million attacking us. No one's faced that much through Iowa. That's his take. He said, the media was against us. They were writing our obituary months ago. And he's right. I mean, they were already saying DeSantis is not going to do well. He's going to come in poorly. He may be behind Haley. Who knows? Ramaswamy might even be above him. Didn't happen. He was the second place finisher last night. By the way, think back. Ted Cruz won Iowa. I believe Mike Huckabee won Iowa. Neither one of them got the nomination. So there is history here. Says a stunning poll in this article from Red State, a stunning poll from the Des Moines Register, that's in Iowa, and NBC News over the last weekend showed DeSantis garnering just 16%, with former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley coming in at 20. But subsequently, an Emerson poll also had Haley at 21 with DeSantis at 15. And he came in with almost 22 and her down in the teens. So there's that. And then lastly, Daily Wire has a piece that I find interesting. Oh, I forgot. Did you hear what Nikki Haley said that's kind of raised some eyebrows last night?
Mm.
I'll just fill you in case you hadn't. So she comes out last night to give her, election results speech, right? Nikki Haley, who finished third, right? Comes out and says, with all vim and vigor, says, this is what happens last night, today, the Iowa voters have made this a two-person race. Well, she was in third. So I'm not sure what was happening there. But nonetheless, there have been a lot of questions about, did she know the results? Had somebody given her some bad intel? What was happening? But this story came off of Town Hall. One pundit does say, Haley is consolidating the anti-Trump vote. She does well with people who define themselves as anti-Trump. Last one. Bada boom, bada bang. Daily Wire. Got a story here. Trump, DeSantis, and Haley would all beat Biden, according to a new poll. Now, listen, polls are like dirty socks. Everybody's got them and they all smell, right? Take them with a grain of salt. I've often said that if all polling was to be believed, I never would have been elected. But I was twice. Just depends on what poll you're looking at. For what it's worth, the polling on Iowa and the polling in this has been somewhat accurate. So now the question is, what happens on the national scale? In a head-to-head against Biden, what happens? Well, a more recent poll just came out. Former President Trump, former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis all lead Biden, according to a new CBS News YouGov poll that was conducted just a few days ago. It says Haley would have the biggest lead in a hypothetical general election with 53 to Biden's 45. DeSantis would be next with 51 to Biden's 48. Trump hypothetically also beats Biden 50 to 48. So right now we're looking at Biden's numbers are in the tank. Only 21% of voters out there polled think that they'd be better off financially if Biden stayed in office. That's like Nazi Germany level polling. I mean, the popularity level is just abysmally low. But if you look at it, I mean, Wall Street Journal at one point in late November showed Haley beating Biden by 17 points. Nobody believes that. And then a Rasmussen poll from earlier this month shows Trump beating Biden by 8 points and DeSantis beating Biden by 2. That Wall Street Journal, by the way, had to have included the independents who are probably going to steal more from the Democrats than they are from the... Because right now, people talk about, oh, Republicans are fractured. No, they're not. You don't see Liz Cheney actually running right now, do you? You don't see Adam Kinzinger running. Who knows what they're going to do in the future? Right now, all they're doing is punditry on MSNBC because nobody else wants to hear what they have to say. While on the Democrat side, you've got two members of the Democrat Party that are running against the sitting president, one who split off RFK Jr. to form an independent race, which may actually glean a few votes off of Biden. So the fracture is more on the left than it is on the right. There's that. What you got, man?
I'm just wondering if anybody else has fun if they get a poll link or a poll call and these days.
Are you that guy?
I'm the, oh yeah, yeah. No, I vote for all of them. Yeah, some of this polling stuff, it definitely gets.
I used to tell my folks when I was running, if you get a poll, answer it, please. By all means, answer it. And then if you get a live poll, talk to them because they don't know what to do. So I had a live poll call my house about me.
Oh, and really? I what was your opinion?
Yeah. This person goes, in a head-to-head versus Phil Williams and my opponent, who would you vote for? And, of course, I said, well, it's easy, Phil Williams. And then they immediately launched. It's called a push poll.
Right.
They immediately launched into something to push you off of your opinion. Well, don't you know? And they began to say things about me. And I said, really? He does that? Oh, yes. I think one of them was, he sends his children to private school so they won't have to associate with common people. I was about as common as you get. And I said, wow, this is interesting. I tell you what, is your manager there? Excuse me. Where are you located? And the guy was totally off his feed. Then he goes, Michigan? I said, wow, you're calling me from Michigan to talk about me? And he went, excuse me? I said, I'm Phil Williams. He went, oh.
Nice.
And I said, let me talk to your manager. I thought sure he'd hang up. He goes, okay. And next thing I know, the manager gets on the phone. And I started taking him to task. And all they could do was stammer. It was one of the finest moments I had had
well,
at that point in the election.
I go either way. I want to fluff them up, right?
Yeah.
I definitely would vote for your guy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that issue? Absolutely. That is the most important issue. I mean, it's just they're just building stats, and it's here's irrelevant data, you know. So I don't know who's making decisions on
it. So you're the guy who said that your biggest issue is whether or not we ever reach Mars. And
yes. Oh, 100%.
And can we feed horses in real time? That's what you asked for.
Yes.
I understand. Last couple of texts before we go to the break. Gary from Decatur, he says, hey, it could be worse. Here's North Dakota last Sunday. And that is a good Lord. That is a wow. That's like up to the windowsills.
Yeah, I got that one primed up and ready. And there was another couple of good ones from, William from Huntsville sent us a couple that I pulled up as well.
Oh, I see. You got it up there on the live feed right now. By the way, Jeff from Indiana says he thinks Bucky's would become an advertiser if I would do the show in a Bucky's onesie. I am not opposed to that idea.
I'm a little bit because I'm in the studio with you.
Linda from Huntsville says... she called herself LC from Huntsville, but it's Linda on our lines. Said, just read online, parts of Antarctica are currently warmer than North Alabama. I believe that. Nice. And then John from Huntsville says, Butters, this is a picture of me skating in my frozen junkyard. Awesome. There he is. All right, man. Hey, listen, we're going to take a break right now. Time to switch the dippers. Would you fly the DEI skies? Do you have a choice? Y'all stay tuned. I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.